Hello, and thank you for joining us for a very special episode 12 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Ownby. And today we're doing a special episode where we're face-to-face in the same room. We're celebrating the one-year anniversary of The Backside of Water. We've been doing this podcast since May of 2015. It's now May of 2016, and if our maths are correct, that means it has been 1 year in which we've put out episodes that surprise and delight Disney fans such as ourselves, and horrify occasionally.
I think that the horrify is probably a little bit more apropos. Now, the awesome thing about this episode is the fact that a mutual friend of ours is getting married this weekend, and so Harrison has flown into Denver, and we are recording this, like you said, face-to-face in the same room, which has never happened on the podcast. So within the last 1 year, we have been recording remotely. Harrison from Austin and me from Denver, but this is our first episode where we're actually in the same room, which is kind of awkward.
It's Al has just aged terribly in the past year. All the things that you don't see on Skype, you see all the creases around his nose that just come from sunscreening everything but his nose.
I make a particular point to sunscreen everything but my nose.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because I've been loving our podcast. Harrison, not so much because he's kind of a diva.
I've been loving playing our podcast backwards and just being emo.
And trying to find all the hidden messages in it.
If you started exactly with The Wizard of Oz and start with the episode 12...
Is anybody in there? The Pirates episode. Sorry, if you guys can't hear that, that's my son, which is crazy because we actually released our first podcast episode on June 8th of 2015, and we were looking back through our history on our podcast host.
I think we recorded in like March or something.
We started recording, or we started working on this in May.
Yeah, well, we started earlier than that, but we goofed on all the technical stuff, and we tried recording live from Skype, and that was like as bad as it sounds.
The funny thing is, I'd say we probably recorded that episode. I think we recorded it all the way through twice, because the first time just sounded like an audio abomination.
Yeah, we were recording from Skype, so it was like, and then it was terrible.
Well, and I mean, the funny thing is, you never really know the difficulties that you're going to have podcasting until you actually start a podcast and realize how stupid you are technologically.
Well, and all the things you think are going to be a problem aren't a problem, and the things that you don't think are going to be a problem are the problem.
Exactly. But I, as my son was screaming in the hallway there, I don't know if everybody heard that. I'm pretty sure everybody
heard
that.
There's no way they didn't hear that.
But the thing that's cool is knowing that when we first started this podcast, he was a little over a month old, I think, and now he's 13 months old.
Now you have a huge podcast and a runty little son.
Well, either that or a runty podcast and a huge son.
That's true. He has gotten really big. I picked him up this morning, and he's solid.
We definitely feed him bricks and mortar for brekkie. One thing that we wanted to do with this 12th episode.
It feels like the first episode because it's the first time we had a ton of technological difficulties before setting this one up too, just like the very first one.
It was fairly apropos.
Which is great. You know, everybody loves podcasts about technical difficulties they had.
So let's talk about our MIDI settings next for the next 35
let's
minutes.
Let's talk about how we had to reset the microphone driver.
So one thing that we thought would be really cool is for this 12th episode is to kind of do like a retrospective on our first year podcasting and our first 12 episodes. I think that's the cool thing about this too, is that we've been able to put out at least one podcast per month, and some months, I should say, were a little barren.
Some months were barren, and other months we put out like three.
Yeah, so in the end though, I mean, we hit our 12 episode mark. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about for a little bit what inspired us to create this podcast. Then we're going to move on and talk about some of our favorite episodes thus far and the things that we enjoyed about those episodes. Then we're going to talk about some cool things that have happened because of this podcast. And then for those who may be aspiring podcasters out there, we're going to talk about the different challenges and rewards of podcasting. And we're going to finally end off the show talking about what we're looking forward to with the next couple of years to come for The Backside of Water.
I'm excited, dude.
Yeah, man. So Yeah, let's talk first about what inspired us to podcast. I think the story goes that I was personally looking for any and every reason to start a podcast. I've always been fascinated by the accessibility of a show like this. It's just so
anywhere you can go, you can take the show with you.
Exactly. And it's so simple. It's so easy. I have worked in the film and creative industry for a while, as well as music. And the thing that's hard about both of those industries is there's no immediacy to the creativity. And the thing that's awesome about a podcast is the fact that all you have to do is hit record and upload, and it's good to go.
Well, there's a lot of production that we do. A lot of podcasts do that, but we try to make it an ambiance, so it's not just talking heads like this episode. But usually, but this is a special episode, and but usually we try to really bring in the theatrics of it, and that's what I like. I mean, there's that's one of my favorite parts about Disneyland is in Disney parks is the show. It is all about the show, and we try to make it mirror that in our podcast and say, you know what, Disney, you've totally inspired us to make it that way. And so we try to do immersive episodes where hopefully whatever you're doing, for a second you feel like you really are on the Jungle Cruise, or you really are riding Indiana Jones or walking New Orleans Square, because that's what I would want. You know, there's so many times where you're having a bad day at work, or, you know, it's just a slow Tuesday, and you just get to think about, oh man, the smell of churros in New Orleans Square.
Or the chlorinated water in Pirates of the Caribbean, which is, I think, well, and that's one thing that we didn't really talk about in that episode is the fact that people are torn as to what causes that smell.
Did you know that there's a perfume that's inspired by that smell? It's not Disney sanctioned, but it's called Dark Ride. Yeah.
I don't know if I would be proud to smell like an indoor pool.
I don't know. For the right person, it's probably like catnip. But for everybody I else, they're like, what do you smell like? It's just kind of a musty fog smell. I kind of like it, but it's weird that you smell like that.
Well, I think that going back to why we started this, it was the desire to kind of bottle Disneyland for both of us.
Yeah.
And when you start a podcast, you have to have something to say and you have to have something to talk about. And it was one of those situations where I was like, well, the thing that I can talk most about is probably Disneyland.
Well, and the people around me that I work with don't really want to hear me talk about Disneyland that much.
Exactly.
Because they've never been, and it doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, I'm the same way, that I could talk until I'm blue in the face about Disneyland to my buddies, and they're just kind of like, oh, cool, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And they humor us. But when I was looking for content to create, I realized Disneyland's the perfect thing, and the first person who popped into my mind to co-host this was obviously Harry.
We had a history where we lived in the Los Angeles area for, what, like 3 years together?
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I hadn't really been to Disneyland, but my friends were starting to go, and I got talked into going once. And after that, I bought an annual pass because it's something that you just want to keep coming back to. And Al and I definitely, we were the ones that everybody would be like, that was fun, I'm ready to go home. And Al and I are like, no, just a little bit longer.
we were the open to close kind of people, even
really
with annual passes.
I remember one time I went there in a pair of brand new Converse All-Stars. If you can imagine how uncomfortable that was. We did a 16-hour day, and I had blisters on my pinky toes because I wore shoes with poor arch support, which I never made that mistake again because it detracted from the experience, the shoes that I wore.
It definitely is amazing to know that your Disney park experience can be made or broken by the pair of shoes that you choose.
It's true. It's true. But I was ready to fight through the pain.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's what was so exciting about the prospect of a Disney podcast. But for those who listen to other Disney podcasts out there, there's about 12,000 Disney podcasts in the Northern Hemisphere. And then worldwide, you probably have like 60,000. And so the real question is trying to differentiate yourself from all of those podcasts. And we both had talked and known that we didn't really want to go the route of like travel tips or anything like that.
No, well, what you know what's annoying about those, and this is just a little soapbox rant, whatever, is so many of them are so common sense. It's like, make sure you stop to give the kids water. You're like, No, I was planning on making, you know, no water until someone collapsed. That's the rule. You know, this is going to be a march, and you're going to feel like just...
like you've gotten nothing out of this day except for your money's worth.
You're going to feel like a war prisoner. That's how I want you to feel about your experience.
Well,
it's like,
and
it's like sun. You bring sunblock. Make sure to eat, you know, to give everybody plenty to eat. Wear comfortable shoes, which, yeah, but...
And I think, again, it kind of went away from... I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with those podcasts, because I feel like somebody who's never been to Disney, it's true that they do need all of those tips and tricks, yeah, to kind of... make their experience as great as possible.
Well, it's a lot different from another type of vacation.
Oh, absolutely. And again, if you're spending the money that you are to go to somewhere like Walt Disney World, you want to do it right the first time. You don't want to have like that trial period where you go and you're like, I forgot to do this and this and this.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to have those kinds of podcasts out there. I think there's definitely a place in the podcast universe, but we felt like it wasn't our cup of tea. And
well,
so we
had been done so well too. And
yes.
In so many different ways that we really didn't feel like we had anything to contribute other than wear comfortable shoes.
And we've already shared that.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that was really difficult for us is trying to find our angle on how to get to the park. And it was just one random day where I was thinking and really mulling over the fact that we both are absolutely fascinated by the magic of Walt Disney and the genius of Walt Disney.
Yeah, what fascinates me is that and the thoroughness of design. I mean, say what you will, love or hate Disneyland, it is a machine. It is so well oiled. They've got all these things set up so that they don't have to tell you no. You just don't do things that you're not supposed to do because it's built that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, that was one of the things that whenever Harrison and I would visit the park, we both were like the best Disney travel companions, because we would spend the entire time we were there talking about the parks and just talking about the design, talking about the story aspects.
Oh, yeah. Or like the 21 steps? You can find a trash can every 21 steps?
I think so. I don't know the exact number.
There's a definite number of steps where they researched and found that if someone carries trash further than this and they don't find a trash can, they throw it on the ground. Well, it was like 20 or 17 or something like that. And you can measure your steps between trash cans at Disneyland, and you will hit that every time.
That's insane.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. And that was the crazy thing, is we were kind of throwing around all these ideas as to what we wanted the format of the show to be. And we started talking about all the cool things that we had learned about Disney over the years. And it started to build and build, and we realized that the best kind of podcast was for us, a podcast where we were able to share all of those cool stories, share all of those cool facts, but do it in a way that Disney would do it, and that's the structure of a story. And so for those who haven't noticed, or we haven't succeeded, our goal is for every single episode to be a story arc, to follow a beginning, middle, and end that shows these rising action points and these climaxes that have a very happy resolution in the end. And then when we thought, you know, it would be cool if we did the park companion idea where we do it in a geographically ordered way, I think that we were super excited about that. I don't know if there's anybody who's listened to our podcast who's actually walked through the park and sequentially listened to our show.
I don't know either, but I think that it gives people an approachable way to understand what's next and kind of get what we're going for. And it also, it gives us structure, so we're not jumping around. And I think a creative project like this benefits from rules like that. Like, we're going to go around the map, you know, and that way we can't, because we could really go nuts. I mean, it's really hard to find an entry point because there's so much.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that structure helps us be more creative by kind of limiting us a little bit.
I think that's absolutely true. I think also we're both very sequential in the way we think and ordered in the way we think. And so, I mean, so far it's worked out really well. And I think it's cool just knowing that we can map out in our minds the eras that we were going through and the lands that we were going through at those certain times of the year. Speaking of which, I would love for us to take a couple of minutes here to talk about our favorite episodes thus far. And folks, if you ever want to tell us about your favorite episodes.
We'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely. You can email us at thebacksideofwaterpodcast@gmail.com, or you can, give us a shout out on Instagram.
Or Twitter.
Yeah. So however you want to tell us, I'm hoping that soon enough we can open up like a phone line where people can call in.
That would be amazing.
And tell us some of their favorite stuff, and we can play that on the air. But since we can hardly even do this show technologically, I'm not quite sure I can get into that Alexander Graham Bell type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still telegraphing people.
So, Harry, what do you think is... I don't know if we've ever talked about this personally, but what do you think is your favorite episode of the show thus far?
It's hard. I think there are a lot of episodes that I'm proud of. There's some things that I wish that I'd do differently, too, that we'd done differently, but... Mm-hmm. More being proud than wishing that I'd done differently. So I really like the opening sketch of Indiana Jones with the Nazis trying to take control of the podcast.
That was really good.
That's my favorite little segment that we do. And because of that, I really like the Indiana Jones episode.
I'm trying to think because, like you said, there's things about every single episode that I really enjoyed. But I think overall episode, I think that my favorite might be the Pirates of the Caribbean two-part episode.
That was a lot of fun.
I feel like we captured the magic of the attraction throughout the ride.
Yeah, yeah. And there was so much research in that episode. We kept pulling and pulling and pulling and just finding more and more and more. And I'm sure we didn't even scratch the surface.
Oh, definitely not. Well, and that's the interesting thing is right now, as we record this episode, we are working away at trying to put together the Haunted Mansion episode.
Haunted Mansion is just as deep as Pirates.
Well, and it gets to the point where it's almost overwhelming how much information there is on each one of these attractions.
Well, Haunted Mansion, for those of you who might not know its history, is in development for 18 years. So you can imagine Walt Disney plus all these different Imagineers, all the ideas that they could come up with in 18 years. I mean, holy cow.
Well, and I think that's been one of the things that I didn't anticipate with this is the overwhelming wealth of knowledge that we have been able to dig into and glean from. And in certain ways... It gets to be so much that it almost paralyzes you where you're like, oh my gosh, this is such a daunting task.
Yeah, so many names.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think that's one piece of feedback that we've gotten quite a bit is we want more episodes, more episodes, more episodes. Yeah. And I think ideally if we had the opportunity, we would be putting out episodes weekly.
Oh, I wish this was my full-time job.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That kind of goes without saying. I think that if we could do that, we absolutely would. And I'm personally sorry that we're not able to, but it really comes down to the fact that we've had multiple conversations about what the integrity of the show is about and how we want to keep that integrity. Does that mean that we push out more shows, or does that mean that we actually stay true to the process that we believe in? And that process is providing as well-produced episodes of this podcast as possible.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we were to push it more and push out more episodes, the quality of each one of those episodes would go down significantly.
Well, if it comes down to, you know, we're both grown-ups, we both have families, and we both have, you know, we want to spend time with our families, theoretically.
And full-time jobs.
And full-time jobs. And, yeah, if this was my full-time job or our full-time job, I would hammer out an episode. I would try to do two a week, and we would have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
And two a week would probably end up being about a 60-hour week.
Without question.
It would be so much work. We'd get faster and faster. But, yeah, it's really important to balance this so that it really is it stays fresh and fun and passionate.
Oh, yeah.
And a creative outlet rather than, oh my gosh, you know, another thing to do in this world of throw your day in the dumpster because here come chores.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I will also say is the community that we have been embraced in and that has been created around the podcast has been absolutely awesome. I feel like that's one of the most rewarding things, is that our work has not gone unappreciated.
No, and Disney fans are just such nice people.
Oh, they're incredible.
Yeah, it's after all these years of having nobody to talk to about Disneyland, we finally have people to talk to about Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. It's, our world has opened up so much as far as our Disney friends go. And I think one thing that's really cool about it is everybody loves an internet troll, and everybody's experienced an internet troll. And yet in the world of the backside of water, we have in the last 12 months only had one comment that was a troll, and that's it. It was on one Instagram post from like 5 or 6 months ago, and this guy just pulled out this little minute detail and was like, incorrect. And that's the only time that we've ever had somebody say negative feedback about the podcast.
What was the detail?
I don't even remember what the detail was. For those who haven't checked it out, our Instagram page has companion images from each one of our episodes. So if you want to jump over there and start following us, we will consistently post pictures that complement the episode that we have just released. For instance, right now, our current episode, I should say the episode that we just released previously, was Club 33. So we've been posting pictures about interiors of Club 33, history about Club 33. But I don't remember what the actual comment was that this guy gave, but I remember it being like, and it wasn't even really rude.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a YouTube comment that's so like, colorful you could never even say it in like a CD
and
bar.
It's totally unrelated to the content.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But the community has definitely embraced us and really appreciated all of the time and the effort that we've been able to put into this. And that's what I think whenever I'm having that, holy cow, I'm so overwhelmed by this moment. I just think, and I'm like, people appreciate this and they love this. And that's why it's so worth doing it, is because everybody has had an outpouring of support for us. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah. I think some of the memorable moments for me as far as community go are, I run the Twitter side, which I'm a little spotty about and probably should be better, but I also shouldn't just say stuff like that. Just be the way you are, right?
Yeah.
And don't be like, oh, this is not what I wish it was.
Don't qualify yourself, Harrison.
Yeah, exactly.
You're qualified enough.
Anyway, we were retweeted by Andrew Stanton when we asked him. He did a Q&A session about Finding Dory, and I asked him, Where can we look for A113? If you don't know about A113, then just learn about it. Go Google it. That doesn't really come off very well in audio. It sounds like a very smarmy, like, just please. I'm joking, but it's a Pixar Easter egg that's in every movie, and it's also in Mission Impossible Gross Protocol.
Gross Protocol. Oh, that protocol's disgusting.
Ooh, I hate that protocol. It's so nasty.
But if you look into it, it's kind of cool, because A113 was the Animation 1 room at Cal Arts, the college that Walt Disney founded for his animators to hone their skills. And then it kind of opened up to more of a college of arts in general.
Yeah. But anyway, I asked Andrew Stanton where we can look for A113, and he just said everywhere in all caps, which was a quick answer, whatever. But a lot of people had the same question, and it's cool that we were retweeted and responded to by Andrew Stanton.
Oh, absolutely.
WALL-E is my absolute favorite Pixar film, and actually my favorite film. I love WALL-E. I could watch it over and over again. I think it's perfect. I like it even more than I like Jurassic Park, and I love Jurassic Park.
That's a bold statement.
I know it is. I know.
It's a great movie. It is absolutely a great movie. I think that it's interesting because social media is such a double-edged sword in some ways, that it can be a great thing, but it can also consume your life. And one thing that I've noticed with running our Instagram is the community is so incredible, so positive, so supportive, and it kind of defies all of the internet cliches that all of these people have nothing but good things to say and nothing but supportive comments. And we've really been able to reach out to people that we would probably otherwise not meet. I mean, people from California to the East Coast to the South, all over the place. We have found fans. And my suggestion is everybody who follows us on Instagram, you should just go through and follow all of them because they are absolutely awesome people.
Well, yeah, and we also just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for downloading us, for streaming us, and listening to us. We're, you know, taking time out of your life and what you do to give us time. That means so much, and thank you. Thanks for being positive, and we really feel like you've paid it forward. If you feel happy, you've let us know, and that really means a lot. So mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, and that's what's so great about this is that we're able to get pretty much immediate feedback on these things.
Yeah.
And all of our feedback from iTunes has been extremely positive.
Yeah.
And we're stoked about that. Not that we, like, the second we get negative feedback, we're going to quit or anything
well,
like that.
Yeah, if we get bigger, we're going to get negative. You know, that's just what happens. More people listen, more people are like, not for me, F minus.
Well, and that's the thing that's crazy is I think when Harrison and I both went into this, listeners weren't really our goal. We weren't like, okay, we want to get this many listeners. But the thing that's crazy, and I mean, not that we didn't have listeners in mind. I mean,
well,
that's
nice to have people that listen to you.
Exactly. And our audience is one of the things that we keep in mind when we're writing. But one of the byproducts of putting this out and people embracing it is we just checked. And in this first year, we're stoked that we've had 30,000 streams of the podcast.
That's insane.
Which is super cool. Now, for, you know, bigger podcasts, they're like 30,000 streams in a year. That's what I get in a week.
Yeah, but those people are people that have a studio. They've devoted full time to podcasting. And for just us, we're a Skype operation, and we both have full time jobs. Al has more than one.
It's been amazing. Yeah. It's really cool to see that there's that many people who are wanting to listen to our show.
Yeah,
and I think that looking forward, that's one of the things that our big goal is to keep continuing to deliver what we consider quality podcast material.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a relative term, but we kind of come at it, like Harrison said way earlier, with high production value in mind. I think a lot of people just start hitting record and go for it, but we want it to actually be a little bit more, I should say a lot more of an experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We wanted it to be a show in a world where there are so many talking heads, so many podcasts are just like, let me tell you my negative opinion about this, or let me tell you why you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to be a podcast that's like, look, we're going to take you away from that for a little bit and make you feel like you're walking through Disneyland.
Absolutely. Well, and I think one thing that we also need to say is we're releasing this episode when we are. One, because it is the first anniversary of our podcast, and we wanted to talk about it and do, like we said, a little retrospective.
Yeah.
But two, we also want to put this out because, unfortunately, as we said, this Haunted Mansion episode has been blowing our minds.
It's been our own writing of this Haunted Mansion episode has been a little bit like developing the Haunted Mansion because we started writing for this
6 weeks ago.
Researching it in January.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to Doom Buggy podcasts and stuff, which you should, if you like Haunted Mansion, you should definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much. And then we decided, well, you know, we want to do Club 33 and the Blue Bayou too, because they're essential to the feeling of New Orleans Square. And so we kind of tabled Haunted Mansion, just like World's Fair tabled Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much to that attraction, and there's so many different interpretations of what people are seeing, which is really, I think, a measure of good art. You can see one thing and interpret it so many different ways, and there's not a right or wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think is really memorable about the Haunted Mansion, is that people walk away and they're not sure what they saw.
Yeah. Well, but the thing that does ring true is the experience that you have on that attraction.
Yeah.
That everybody comes away with a different interpretation of the story, but the attraction itself always gets the same excitement, thrill,
yeah,
and desire to ride again. And that's what I think is so cool about it. But the thing that I hope everybody knows, since they can't really see us working, is I sometimes worry that a lot of people think that we're just lazy and slacking off on the podcast if we don't release an episode every 4 weeks. But the reality is, our timeline is not consistent with a lot of other podcasts or the traditional podcast model where you have to hit, you know, once a week, once a month, on the same day, whatever. Our podcast model is, once the episode is done, we release it. Yeah. And I know that that meets a lot of frustration with people. And we're both really sorry about that. But the reality is, we want to give you guys the best episodes that we possibly can. And we want to look back and say, man, we didn't scrimp on anything in that episode.
Yeah, and so many of these podcasts that come out once or twice a week are like really disposable. Hey, Al's computer had just a mild existential crisis and we had to quit.
Who am I?
Yeah, who am I? What am I doing here?
What if I don't want to be named Siri?
What if I never find another computer like me?
You ain't never had a computer like me. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh man, that would be something that I would hate to see is a computer-themed Aladdin.
I would love to see that.
Really? Especially with Robin Williams being replaced by another voice actor for the genie? Ow.
It happened in the TV series, bruh.
There was an Aladdin TV series?
Oh my gosh, it was so awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. I actually liked it as much, if not more, than the movie.
I didn't know that at all. I completely missed that.
Yep, it's incredible. So what were you saying?
Oh, before Al's computer just wondered if it was alone in the universe, I was saying that a lot of podcasts come out to just to keep, you know, hit hot news, and then in like 2 weeks or a month, nobody will listen to it, but it gets them the what they need now.
Yeah, it loses relevancy over time.
Yeah, and we want to make episodes that when we're writing them, we think, how will this sound, you know, 2 years from now, 10 years from now? Will it still hold up? Will people still be interested in this? Will it still have valuable information? And yeah, that's the angle that we go for. And that's why we haven't come out with a super opinion episode about Star Wars Land or anything else. Like I think most Disney podcasts have kind of come out with that or something like that.
Well, and I think a lot of people are, we also glossed over like the 60th anniversary stuff that came on.
Yeah.
And we've been pretty specific about that because we do want this to be a time capsule of sorts. And, you know, depending on what this looks like in the future, obviously, every attraction is going to have updates. Everything is going to be changing.
Yeah.
But the beauty of, our show is the fact that if something like that happens, we can edit that in and re-release some of these shows.
Yeah.
And so there's so many different options and opportunities, and who knows what the world of technology is going to look like in 5 years even, when this show finally ends.
Yeah, at one attraction a month plus restaurants.
Either that or it moves into like Epcot and we start Epcot or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
That just gives
or
me...
Or like the Disney park they opened on the moon.
Here's the Mars park.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that's one of the things that, again, looking forward, our biggest goals for you all as listeners is to give you quality Disney history, trivia, and stories that have a timeless feeling that you can continue to return to over and over again and hopefully get something new out of it each time.
Yeah, and I think that we draw a lot of inspiration from Walt Disney and the crew that built this, and we want you to walk away from each episode feeling a little bit inspired, the way that we feel inspired by these artistic people that not only had a vision, but had the discipline and foresight to follow it through and to truly believe in their dreams. Like at the time when Disney proposed a full-length feature animated film like Snow White, everybody said, Disney, you're making a huge mistake. No one wants this. Same way with Disneyland. People were like, investors were really reluctant at the beginning to give Walt money because it's like, Walt, this is crazy. No one wants this.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him break through and to really shape culture and the American landscape the way that he has, it's so inspiring. And we want you to leave with that kind of with that feeling.
Well, and I think that we also want you as listeners to have a better understanding of the impact that that's had on the world and the lives of Disney fans. I think that's been one of our big desires, is to kind of pull back the veil of the creative process of Disney Imagineering and Walt Disney himself. And I completely agree. I think that if you can walk away with that feeling of wonder that you feel when you walk into Tomorrowland, that feeling of exhilarated imagination when you walk through Fantasyland, that feeling of untamed, unbridled adventure when you walk through Frontierland and Adventureland, that's our goal, is to recreate the essence of what you feel at Disneyland at home.
Yeah, and the parks do that, but you can't always be at the parks. So we want to bring the parks to you.
Yeah, we want to bring that feeling of the parks to you. I feel like that's a great place for us to wrap this up. We've been talking for a very long time, and if you've made it this far into the episode, man, we really appreciate
it. Super fan. You should tell us somewhere on Twitter or Instagram that you made it, and we'll say thank you.
We'll say good and faithful servant, you have done well. We won't actually do that. We won't. I wish I could edit that out. That's the funny thing. I don't think a lot of people realize how much strong editing goes into.
Oh wow, yeah. We edit heavily, and we sometimes we fly off the handle, and things get
horrible.
Less than family friendly. Just two guys on microphones, which, you know, can happen in the spirit of competition and kinship.
But we have to edit those things out, thankfully, because I would probably die if anybody ever heard some of our gaffes.
Well, that's not what you expected a Disney podcast.
Well, and the fact that we may sound like we hit most of our words for the most part. We know how to pronounce most of our words.
We know how to pronounce most of the words.
But a lot of those things do not actually get executed properly the first time. And so that's another reason why we're really grateful that we don't record live, unlike this episode. This is a live episode.
This is a live, unedited episode where we have, all the gaffes and ums and uhs and repetitions and...
No script. This is unscripted. This is unbridled. This is like an episode of Howard Stern with a family-friendly turn to it.
Seriously, this is like, or maybe it's like watching your favorite movie with the DVD commentary on. Now, in this scene, I wanted the lighting to resemble the light of Jupiter in late June.
The nice thing is we always know that a lot of those commentaries ruin the movies. So essentially, this episode is ruining the entire show.
To celebrate our one-year anniversary of our podcast, we decided to ruin the podcast. You're welcome.
Well, on that note, folks, thanks for listening. And like we've said about 17 times, please reach out to us on social media. We absolutely love getting that feedback. And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
So as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step.
And if you miss your step and hit your head, please
watch your language.
Nailed it. That is just genius unedited right there.
Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next time for The Haunted Mansion, episode 13.
I was trying to do a bell sound effect played in my head, and I looked over at Al and kind of thought that he heard it. But anyway. All right.
I didn't hear it.
On that note.
Goodbye, folks.
Why don't you show me out, Al?